You must not worship the Lord your God in the way that they do, because in worshipping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things which the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the fact that England has now moved from clown world to Sodom. And it has made that transition because Parliament has voted by an overwhelming margin for infanticide. It has voted to make abortion legal right up until the point of birth. And presumably, if a child is born a week late or 2 weeks late, as some children are, then those children themselves can be aborted, even though they should be, as it were, in the world. So, infanticide is now effectively legal in the UK. And what this reflects, and no one's talking about this, because they don't take it seriously, but it is serious, is the rise in politics of literal witches, of latter-day witches. And this is not hyperbole. I've written about it in a book I've done. I've got a new edition called Witches, Feminism, and the Fall of the West. And that's what we're going to look at. How witches have brought this about. Before I do so, could you do me a favour and could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube? Could you leave a like for the algorithm? Could you share it? Could you comment? Could you whatever? And could you subscribe to my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base stuff I can't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, films, and where if you like what I do, you can support me with the cost of just a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. Now, what we have is a situation where an extremely ugly woman, who frankly looks like a man, called Tania Antoniazzi, has pioneered a bill through Parliament to make infanticide, basically, I mean, you know, killing a nine-month gestated baby, if not more than 9 months, legal. And let us look at basically what kind of woman would do this and the historical parallels. What were witches? Witches in general were spinsters, unmarried women, childless women, over the age of about 50, who were extremely physically unattractive and were simply awful people. Extraordinarily antisocial people that everybody hated. They would curse people in a context in which people genuinely believed in the power of the curse and thus the nocebo effect and the power of the curse to do them ill. They were deeply antisocial. They were unattractive. They were masculinized. They were basically just horrible, awful old women. And they spread negative social epistasis. They spread disunity in the community. In a context in which, under harsh Darwinian conditions, unity, i.e. positive and negative ethnocentrism, internal cooperation, is very important. They weren't breaking any specific laws, normally, so they had to come up with a way to get them out of the community, because they were bad for the preservation of the community, and that was the accusation of witchcraft. And these people were therefore removed from the community via the accusation of witchcraft. Interestingly, it was in times of want, in times of people not having enough food, that they were considered a particular social irritant, a particular problem, because that's when you've really got to cooperate and get along. And therefore, that's when there tended to be witch crazes, and they tended, in England anyway, to be hanged in significant numbers, particularly in the mid-17th century, when it started to become extremely cold. So that's witches. These witches would attest to having fantasies where they would have sex with Satan. And I would like to suggest that these are what is called rape fantasies. Now, how do rape fantasies work? Well, they can be reduced down to basically a fast life history strategy. If you live fast, die young, then the man, you can expect the man to pump and dump. The only kind of man you can possibly want is an extremely dominant man. And you, in that context, because he will pump and dump, are going to be quite masculinized yourself. And quite psychopathic yourself. The only way you can know that he is the dominant male is if he dominates you. And it is from here that the rape fantasy develops. Because he can dominate you, he is the dominant male whose genes you want, thus you have a rape fantasy. And the evidence is that sociosexual women, women that are evolved to an environment in which you basically, you know, pump and dump, in which you are promiscuous and have sex with as many men as you can and whatever, those kinds of women tend to have rape fantasies. And interestingly, feminist identity, and those kinds of women are going to be masculinized in various psychological and often physical ways. And feminist identification weakly correlates, by the way, with having rape fantasies. So it seems to me that what those witches were having, they would talk about, you know, a black man, the devil appeared to me as a black man every night and sucked my dugs till they were raw and all this sort of thing. What you're talking about is fast life history strategy, psychopathic, deeply unpleasant, masculinized women having rape fantasies. And now what you would expect, as harsh Darwinian conditions collapse from 50% child mortality in 1800 to 1%, is a massive build-up of mutation. And that will be in the direction away from what we had before the under harsh conditions, which was men being men and women being women. So you're going to get more and more and more masculinized females. You're going to get a build-up in masculinized females, in females that basically have the physical looks and the psychology of witches. The psychology of these witches is also masculinized in the sense that clearly they are sort of they're narcissistic. I mean, female narcissism is often disguised. We often call it borderline personality disorder. Borderline personality disorder is, to a great extent, female narcissism. It's just that narcissism in men, you are grandiose, you think you're perfect and important, you are entitled, you want people to participate in your narcissistic fantasy, and you have narcissistic rage if they challenge you. Borderline personality disorder is slightly more complicated and manipulative and subtle, reflecting the way that women have to, need to avoid physical violence and require safety and whatever. So what you have with the borderline personality disorder is extreme emotions, a movement between extreme emotions. They're much more fragile. They're much more likely for the narcissism to crack and for them to become, deeply upset and insecure and so on. But it's essentially about narcissism. Of course, you're entitled. If you go around thinking you can shout at people and scream curses at people, you think you're unique and you have the right to do that. You're entitled. You think you can get away with that. It's basically reflecting a kind of narcissism. Antisocial old women. So that's the nature of witches, and of course we can see that that is very much the nature of these feminist campaigners. I mean, what exactly do they do? It is the expression of female aggression, of female narcissism, of a female desire for power to go, and of a lack of empathy, which is also a huge component, of course, of narcissism and psychopathy. What do we see them do? Well, they are grandiose. They assert that they are the moral authority and they know what is morally right and this is what must be done. And anyone that disagrees is ghastly. They are entitled in so much as they get extremely upset and angry and furious if anybody dares disagree with them. They expect to be obeyed. You see the mood swings between the grandiose assertion that they are right, and if anyone disagrees, then they will break down and they will victim signal and say, "Oh my God, we're the most appalling victims. How can you do this to us?" So they are highly manipulative, which is an aspect of borderline personality. If you don't get what you want, you can swing very quickly, swing from grandiosity and being pumped up to complete collapse signaling how hard done by you are in order to get what you want. So they're highly manipulative. They're histrionic in that there are these huge displays of emotion in order to get what they want. And of course, they lack empathy. They don't really care. They try to cancel and destroy their opponents, rip people apart, all in order to get power and security and whatever for themselves. This is borderline personality disorder in a nutshell. Although really, it's much more complicated. And you see this with all of these female anti-abortion, pro-abortion, MPs. These are precisely their behaviour patterns. They have a complete lack of empathy for their opponents, whom they just dismiss and label as evil and so on. And they have a complete lack of empathy, obviously, for the babies. The babies don't matter. What matters is the woman. What matters is women like them who want to have abortions. And indeed, a number of them, including the leader of the Green Party, have gone out and said that proudly that they've had an abortion. It must be their right. So their rights, their feelings, their desires, even perhaps their desire not to feel guilty about what they've done, trumps everything else. Everything else. They must have what they want. They must have a sense of power. They must have a sense of importance. They must be in charge. These are highly masculinized women. These are narcissists. These are the psychological and physical descendants of the witches, and this is most obvious in this Tonia Antonisi, who, frankly, I mean, you'd think she was a man, and Jess Phillips, perhaps to a lesser extent, and Kim Leadbeater, who's involved in the bill, as I understand. So it's just appalling, hideous women who are masculinized in the way they think, and who are female narcissists who desire power and control and for everyone just to kneel down and worship them and do exactly what they want. And that is what these witches have now managed to achieve, essentially infanticide. And I don't think it is a coincidence that witches historically were associated with killing babies, were associated with providing abortions, were associated and often accused of infanticide. These would be bitter women who couldn't have children themselves because nobody wanted to have children with them. And so they would commit infanticide and things like this. Now, this has come to Parliament, as far as I can see, via what I can only think of. How can I put it without being sued? A woman called Nicola Parker took the limit for abortion is 24 weeks. You can't have an abortion in England until 24 weeks. And she took abortion pills at 26 weeks of gestation, thus causing her to give birth to a stillborn baby. She then went to hospital and said, "Oh, I didn't want to tell them that I'd taken the abortion pills, so I said I had a late miscarriage." Why didn't you want to tell them that? If you'd taken the abortion pills within the legal limit, there'd be absolutely no problem, would there? This went to court, and she argued that she thought she was 6 weeks pregnant when she took the abortion pills, not 26 weeks. I find this very hard to believe, in that menstruation happens once a month, and if you haven't menstruated that month and you've been having unprotected sex, then it seems pretty likely that you might well be pregnant. I find this very hard to believe. But yet, for some reason, she was found not guilty. And on the back of this, the witch MPs have taken this to Parliament, and now we have legalised infanticide in England. Now, I am ambivalent about this. I am torn in two directions. On the one hand, treating life... firstly, by allowing this bill, we are allowing these awful, witch-like, narcissistic women to direct and have power over society. And that can't be a good thing. We have for so long been living in the mind of a borderline personality teenage girl who cuts herself because she's sad and has blue hair and who screams everyone down that disagrees with them. We're living in the mind of a frustrated, childless woman who projects her maternal instincts onto the world and thus turns everything into a nursery school in which you're either a good or a bad boy and you must be severely punished if you break the rules and hurt people's feelings and that kind of thing. So we're giving power to that. That is a bad thing. Secondly, it implies that there is no sanctity to life at all. There is nothing beyond you. It's your body. forget the idea that women are designed by nature to nurture and gestate babies and all that. No, it's their body, and if there's a living thing in it, it can be scraped out of them and killed. So it's this kind of idea, there's nothing beyond you. Man is an island. We are but sparks of divine light in a world of darkness, and we are what we are. We are gods. And if we want to define our own gender, we can define our own gender. And if we want to say, this is my body and I'll do the hell I like with it, despite the fact there's another person involved, we will just will, because we're gods and there's nothing beyond us. That's a bad thing. However, the research indicates that the kind of women that have abortions are high in psychopathic, narcissistic, histrionic traits. And these traits are associated with being left-wing. And the heritability, the genetic component of these traits, is as much as 60%. And having these traits and being left-wing and whatever all cluster together into essentially an anti-fitness factor, into a factor of poor genetic fitness, high mutational load. Because remember, we were selecting against these traits under harsh Darwinian conditions. And so with the collapse of those conditions, the mutant genes have built up, and we have more and more people with these negative, antisocial, nasty traits. And it is those kinds of women that have those traits, i.e. women that are genetically unfit, women that are mentally ill, women that are just awful. It is those kinds of women that elect, on average, to abort their offspring. And the traits are highly genetic, meaning they are likely to be passed on to the offspring. So this is a matter of left-wing women electing to end their own bloodline. This is eugenic. This is bringing us back. This is woke eugenics. This is a people that have become genetically unhealthy, such that they have created a genetically unhealthy subgroup, the left, that are then instituting policies to remove themselves from the gene pool and thus render us healthy and conservative and godly once again. This is a good thing. The kinds of women that want to have abortions should be allowed to have them. So basically, some babies are congenitally woke, and this Act of Parliament makes it much easier for their psychopathic mothers to remove those babies from the gene pool and remove themselves from the gene pool. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing for the future. You know, I am glad that the leader of the Green Party chose to have an abortion, because it means there aren't more people like her. It's a difficult question to answer. Let me know what you think in the comments. I will see you soon, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?